This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here. Going to get an update on a lot of things happening in the city of Roseburg. City Manager Nikki Messenger, thanks for coming in.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So, I guess overall, give us kind of an update on city government. How do you feel like this year's gone?
Gosh, it's gone by in a flash. A lot of good things happening. One of the big ones this year was the urban growth boundary swap. So able to take out some higher elevations, bring in some flatter land, and are looking forward to eventually seeing some housing development.
Now, that is an interesting project because that had, as long as I've been here, 37 years, that was talked about as happening soon.
Yeah, it's been on the radar, we'll say, for more than 40 years and was a high priority interest for the city and the county for a long time. So we're happy to get that moving forward. And Roseburg Urban Sanitary Authority is studying where the sanitary sewer needs to go because that's going to be part of the controlling factor on when we can start building houses out there.
Well, and housing, I mean, everywhere you hear about it, but Roseburg, especially at least in the city limits, has really had a challenge to having not much buildable land left.
No, you just can look around and see what we have is on the hillsides. It's very challenging and very expensive to build, to put infrastructure in, to serve it, and all those things. So we're excited to see this next step come to fruition.
And occasionally I will notice, you know, there's a lot here or there that nobody's ever built on for whatever reason. A lot of those now are getting filled in, too.
Yeah, there is a lot of infill happening. People are willing to take on those challenging lots that maybe have sat vacant for quite a while.
And so now that we get through that part, talk about maybe some things were a bit more challenging this year in terms of not always working out the way you want it.
Oh, gosh. So we've been at the drawing board on things like parking for a while now. We've got a lot of different opinions on how to handle that downtown, and council just really hasn't landed on where they want to take that yet. So continue to work towards finding a solution for that. And I know that's one that people have seen we've been working on for a while. Police staffing has been challenging. You know, we had some retirements, and it's very hard to replace that kind of experience. You're seeing police staffing being an issue nationwide, so it's not just us, but we are doing constant recruiting, and we continue to hire folks, but that is a long process. Takes at least 9 months before they become full-blown officers, get through the academy, get through our training, and get on the streets. And so we continue to try and fill those positions and are looking for good folks.
Now, let's talk about the parking a little bit more. Looks like a lot of kind of shots have been taken in terms of let's try this or maybe let's try that. And it seems like there's no, I mean, if there was a easier solution, you would have had it a long time ago.
Yeah, and we're not the only ones that deal with it. I mean, you can look at lots of cities that are talking about parking and how to pay for it. We've brought lots of ideas forward. I don't know that we've gotten the go-ahead to actually try those ideas. So we continue to struggle with how to get a system that's balanced that can help pay for itself.
And what about the parking garage? I know there were some things that were done to improve that in the last year or so, right?
So we've added some contracts actually 3 years ago to help with the vandalism and garbage that we had complaints about. We also have a security contract. They're both re-upping right now, and that's kind of a question is if we can't pay for the downtown parking, do we continue to pay for those extra services? So it's all part of that puzzle that we're trying to figure out.
As well, the council voted recently to not purchase property on Southeast Stevens for an urban campground. A lot of due diligence. You've looked at, gosh, how many sites?
More than 25.
Yeah, and there's always an objection. Where does this go next?
Yeah, so that'll be a council discussion just real briefly tonight, because the way we've been approaching it clearly isn't working. We haven't found a site. Sites that are brought forward get a lot of public pushback. So, and we also have three new councilors, so they've had a lot of questions about the approach and what the plan is paying for something into the future. And so really the question for council tonight just is, do you want us to stay on the path that we're on? Do you want to schedule a work study or a council meeting to talk about this and make some more decisions about how we want to approach this? Because it'd be really nice if we could find a method that we get public input earlier and that we have more answers for them than what we've been able to offer so far.
And some of the challenges include a lot of criteria about where you maybe don't want to have an urban campground, yet at the same time wanting to put it where those being housed there have access to things they need.
Yeah, there needs to be some access to things like transit and other services so that hopefully people are working towards bettering their situation. They're not just put someplace in isolation. So far the suggestion we hear is put them somewhere else, right? But it's a lot more challenging than just that.
Well, and it seems like obviously nobody wants it in their part of town.
Correct.
And so that has been, and with Roseburg's geography, that kind of adds to the challenges. I mean, you've got a limited amount of, you've got a limited amount of land that's available that could even be considered for that purpose.
Yeah, limited amount of land, lots of sensitive uses we want to stay away from. So it does get challenging trying to figure out what a good spot might be.
So talk about business in the city. I mean, we've had some longtime stores close. Those were due to national challenges in their companies, places like Rite Aid that are now totally shut down, things like that. How do you replace those, though? What is the city's role in trying to get more business to take up some of these increasingly empty spots?
Yeah, that is going to be challenging with these national chains that are shutting down, not only in Oregon, but all over the place. And so we're seeing those storefronts start to open up. Some of them have sold, not necessarily have tenants yet. So we're here to help when folks are interested in coming to town. We work closely with the partnership, the Umpqua Development Partnership. But it really is a challenging time as people kind of feel a little uneasy about what's happening economically.
Do you feel like some of that is the continuing shift to online?
I think that's a big piece of it. Almost everything you need, you can find online, and that makes it really tough for local merchants. I think there's a lot of opinions about tax structures and different things that are happening here in the state that may impact that as well.
Well, and for instance, I'll give you a challenge that I had. I apparently left my Fitbit charger in Italy. And I got back here, grabbed another one that was extra, but the reason it was extra is it really didn't work that well. And so it was suggested about four or five different stores to check out. Every one of them said, nope, we don't sell it. You have to go online. And there's so many other products that people need all the time that it's just hard to get.
I think there's so many things now. Even you talk about your Fitbit or other electronics, I think it would be impossible for some of the smaller stores to stock everything that everybody could need. And because people buy things online, they may sit on the shelf, and not be bought by local folks. So I like to touch things. I like to go into stores and be able to look at things. So it is nice to be able to shop local, but we are seeing a lot of those types of things move online.
So financially, I mean, a big part of operating the city is making all the finances work. How are things looking this year?
So things are looking okay, but not for the right reasons, right? It's because we have staff positions open and our general fund mostly pays for staff, we continue to underspend in the general fund, but that also means we're not able to provide the level of service that we'd like to be able to provide our citizens.
So are you finding challenges? You mentioned the police, but other places too?
Other places as well. Definitely the most opening in police right now, but we do see it in other places. We've just had, post-COVID, we've had more turnover than we've ever seen before. And the latest trend that we're seeing is that people apply for jobs and maybe even accept the job, but their existing employer works really hard to keep them. And so they may accept it and then they come back and say, no, I'm going to stay where I'm at. And so with the economy feeling a little bit unstable, I think people are little bit scared about taking risk and going to a new employer. And so we're seeing a lot of folks that are staying where they're at.
And does that especially apply to people that you're trying to get to come here from out of town?
Not necessarily. We've had it with local folks as well. I think their employer recognizes a good employee and doesn't want to lose that person, and so they do what they can to keep them.
Well, I know some people, depending on where they are, in the life of a mortgage on their home, if they got a mortgage a number of years ago when rates were a lot lower, even though they may want that new job, maybe it pays better, they know that when they come, they aren't going to get that mortgage rate.
They aren't going to get that rate, and that's if you can find a house that's for sale. That's, like we talked about earlier, the housing is pretty challenging around here. So there are a lot of factors playing in right now on how people decide whether or not to change jobs.
All right, back with more in a moment. City Manager Nikki Bessinger, the interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Douglas County News Radio 1240 KQEN. Melanie Premer of Peace at Home Advocacy Center on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County. Roseburg City Manager Nikki Messenger in here today covering a lot of things regarding the city. We're just talking about finances and staffing. So if you've got a lot of open positions, about how many staff do you have right now?
Right now, we have 169 individuals. Some of those are part-time, so about 162 full-time equivalents.
Now, is that kind of up or down or about the same?
So we're budgeted at 176, almost 177. So we're 15 FTE down from what we are budgeted at.
So you really are finding this a challenge to get people.
We are, yeah. And we've got a lot of folks that have worked for us for a long time and are retiring, and that's part of what that trend is of having open positions.
So are there particular areas outside of the police that are especially hard to find?
No, it's across the board that we see openings. Public Works has had some in their engineering department. They've got some new people hired there that have started, but they've still got an opening. We see them on all of the crews where we get openings, and so just kind of across the board.
Now, what about, let's talk about a couple of departments. Public Works, Parks and Recreation, seems like a lot of projects are underway. I wanted to ask, first of all, about how the tennis and pickleball project's going.
It's going great. It's going to finish up either later this month or the beginning of November. Courts are looking great. We're really excited about that project and how it's turned out.
And, I mean, that goes back, was it 50 years?
Yeah, the original courts were more than 50 years old.
And, of course, doing a shift to tennis and pickleball, but in the same area, probably took a lot of work to figure it out.
Yeah, they spent quite a bit of time really thinking about how to implement the pickleball into the space that the courts were in. We were also interested in getting a better viewer experience so that we had better spots for people to watch, because we get quite a bit of tournament play there, and we expect that to increase.
Well, and when you get those tournaments, like sometimes happen in other sports, depending on your facilities, then it really, if you have a weekend tournament, all these people have to stay at a motel, they have to eat food, et cetera.
Yes, it's really good for the local economy when we have tournaments like that.
And what about other things that you're working on in other sports or other things to help bring in folks?
So the other project that we're going to start fundraising for is to turn two of the fields in Fir Grove Park, two of the what are now soccer fields, into turf fields. Those will be multi-use, but we're starting that funding journey to try and get those to a point that we can construct those, which would be 2027 would be the earliest that would kick off. Brown Park is under construction as we speak, so we had a funder step forward and really help get that project started, and that'll be a fully accessible park for any children or parents or grandparents that have mobility issues. That'll be an accessible space for that they can really enjoy. So we're looking forward to getting that opened up.
So are you able to continue that during the rainy season?
I'm hoping so, because they just started scraping the ground the other day and it started raining. So we'll see how that goes.
And, you know, when you talk about, like, for instance, you mentioned soccer. When people who've got kids on teams have gone other places and you see some of the facilities, for instance, Medford obviously is the one that a lot of people look at. And you get there and you realize just what an upgrade it is. Suddenly, that's where all the tournaments want to go.
Yeah, and it's definitely an economic driver for Medford to have those types of facilities. And in Roseburg, we're really serving more than just the 24,000 population, especially when you talk about youth sports fields. We have kids out there from Glide, from Sutherland, Oakland, all the other places that use those fields as well. So we really have to keep that context in mind that we're serving youth from a much bigger community than just Roseburg.
And obviously challenges to finding state or other grants to pay for some of these larger projects.
Yeah,
or
we
at
do.
Least help pay for them.
Yes, it's going to take several grants to help pay for that project. We've got one submitted right now to Umpqua Health Alliance, and we will submit to the Oregon Park and Rec grant program early next year when that opens up, and continue to look for other opportunities.
So for being a city manager, what's a typical day like?
Oh, gosh. Every day is a little bit different. Typically, a lot of meetings, though. That's what I always tell my grandson when he asks, what did you do today? Well, I went to meetings. So they may be internal. They may be external. Really, I want to be there and help the department heads or anybody else that needs something from me to keep them going in their jobs, because they have a lot of work to do.
And how does city staff interact with the county staff, the state folks, other levels of government?
It depends on what's happening, right? So we have a lot of interaction with different agencies, just depending on what the topic is. It varies, right? So try and keep in touch with the county on a regular basis. I know the public works folks are in contact with ODOT folks pretty regularly. It just depends on what all we're working on. I know the RPD and the Douglas County Sheriff's Office are in contact regularly. So there's lots of things where there's overlap because we're serving the same citizens.
Now, for city buildings, I don't even begin to know how many buildings the city owns, but do you have any projects coming up in the near future for those?
We've slowly been trying to help renovate our park shop. It's pretty, it's not in great shape. And so there's been little projects on that. At some point, we've got a pretty significant space in the Public Safety Center that was not finished when that was originally constructed. We're hoping at some point to be able to finish that so that we have additional area for staffing.
Do you feel like the Public Safety Center and City Hall that you have enough space?
If we were able to finish that space in the Public Safety Center, we would.
And what do you think might happen with that space?
I think it would be office space. We had not determined a particular department or anything like that, but there's pretty good space up there, and we are pretty crunched in City Hall.
So other city topics, when you just think about things you would like to maybe get to or things you'd like to improve in the city, what comes to mind?
Oh, gosh, there's so many things that we're working on right now. If you're driving around, you're in a construction zone, right? And we're getting late in the season, but those will be wrapping up. We've got Waterline going in on Pine Street. We've got Stormline going in on Harvard. We've had paving projects on Garden Valley and Stewart Parkway. And really, all of those projects, with the exception of Harvard, that's a newer storm drainage line. These are all projects that are replacing or maintaining existing infrastructure. So that is a major amount of what we do. The Public Works Department's been replacing a 24-inch transmission main, putting in a 24, replacing a 20 from the water treatment plant out in Winchester. It will go all the way to the reservoirs on Reservoir Hill. They're about halfway done with that, but it's going to take several years because it's not an inexpensive project. So we do it at little chunks at a time.
And those things are the types of projects that are so vital for a city operating, but they're the ones that not anybody really gets all that excited about until they don't work.
Yeah, everybody likes to just turn their water on and have it work, and that's what we want as well. So we want your streets to be, you know, even and safe, and the water to work, and when you call 911, the police and fire show up. And so if you aren't noticing those things because they're working, that means we're doing our job right.
What's the most gratifying thing about being city manager?
It's when I can help somebody solve a problem that they thought was insurmountable. So every once in a while, we get somebody that comes in the office and they think that the city government's not there to help them, and we get to prove that we are.
Roseburg City Manager Nikki Bessinger, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.